Hello and welcome to Stories from a Small Blue Marble. My name is Brian Hancock and I'll be your storyteller. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for listening. These stories are my life in small bite-sized chunks. I have had an incredibly charmed life and I'm happy that you're here with me to enjoy some of it. So let's get started. This is going to be a hard one to get through. It's about my mother. My mum was a complicated woman. She was born in South Africa in 1930, and I honestly don't remember where. My memory has faded a little. You see, mum died almost 50 years ago, and a lot of the memories I have of her are dimmed. There are only snippets of stories and a few faded black and white photographs, and that's it. Her best friend, Mrs. Giles, once told me that my mum was a very sweet and very kind woman, and that's enough for me. She met my dad at a small airstrip outside Pietermaritzburg, the town where I grew up. My dad was a pilot who had flown troops back from Cairo at the end of the Second World War. I can only imagine the sparks that must have flown between the two of them. My dad, a handsome pilot, and mum, a pretty lady looking for a handsome pilot. The connection worked, and they got married. Thankfully, otherwise you wouldn't be hearing this. My sister Sue was the first to come along, followed a couple years later by Pete, then Christopher, who goes by Tuffer, the second part of his name rather than the first. I was next, and then my younger brother Rob. We were all evenly and quite neatly spaced 2 years apart. I can only imagine that five kids were a handful. My dad was a civil engineer, working at first for the government, and then when he realized that he would not be able to make enough money to feed all of us, he took a chance and joined a new startup company. Luckily, the business flourished, but it meant that my dad was always traveling on business, leaving us brats, me being the worst of them, in the gentle care of mum. The only job she ever had, other than raising kids, which is a huge job in itself, was working in a pharmacy rolling pins by hand. These were the days when it was frowned upon for a wife to work. It would look as if my dad didn't make enough money to support us, and would make him look bad. We had servants that cooked and cleaned and worked in the garden and took care of us kids. I think that probably mum was bored and needed something to do with her days. I have no idea when it started or why it started, but mum started to drink. In those days, everyone in South Africa drank. It was a throwback from the British colonial days, where everyone insisted on sundowners each and every evening. Think of the movie Out of Africa. My problem was, mum drank more than the rest of them. She was a frail woman. She was glucose intolerant, long before anyone knew what that was. And because of it, when she ate, she threw up. I'm sure that she didn't weigh anywhere near close to 100 pounds wet, so a couple of drinks was all it took to knock her over. It's not easy to write this because of what the alcohol did to her. She drank when my dad was away on business trips. She once told me that it was because she was scared to be alone and in charge of the house and the family. When my dad came home, she would white-knuckle it. Dad told me years later that he had no idea that she drank as much as she did. She kept it well hidden from him, but she went right back to drinking when he was away, and it turned into every kid's nightmare. When my dad was away, us kids would love to sleep on his side of the bed. It was a treat, but it soon turned into something less than a treat. I think, but I'm not 100% sure, that my three older siblings were the first to find her. But here's my experience. I must have been 12 or so, maybe 13. I was definitely wise to the drinking. The problem was that mum smoked a lot, and our little space in our house where we gathered as a family was always thick with smoke. So we all left mum there alone. We called that room the den. There was no TV in South Africa in those days, only books and your own thoughts. When Dad was away, I would lie in my bed and wait for her to go to bed. I had heard her banging into walls before and hated the sound of it, so I'd cover my head with my pillow and try to sleep. I had to come up for air every now and then. Then one night I heard an almighty crash. I jumped out of bed and ran to the den. She wasn't there. I went into the dining room, but because the lights were off, I didn't see her at first. I did notice that all the silverware and plates that had been set ready for breakfast the next morning were on the floor. I looked under the table and there was Mum, completely passed out, covered partly by the tablecloth and knives and forks and spoons. I screamed and Pete and Tuff came running. We carried our Mum to her bed. As far as I can remember, none of us ever spoke about that night again. But it would not be the last time I would find her like that, plastered up against the wall or passed out on the bathroom floor. It was only when my younger brother Rob found her that we decided that we needed an intervention. We didn't include my dad. I'm not sure why. But the intervention was run by Pete. We really had no idea what to do. Mum said that she drank because she was lonely and bored. So our plan, as naive as it was for one of us kids in turn to sit and talk with Mum each night in the smoke-filled den. I think that I was around 16 or maybe closer to 17. I was getting ready to leave for my stint in the army. Mum told me that she knew that once I was gone and Robert finished school, that she knew that my dad would leave her. And he did. On his many trips away, he had been having an affair with his secretary, who would later become my stepmother. She was a wonderful woman, and I don't begrudge either of them. Mum was a bit of a mess, and with all her children grown and gone, her husband moved in with the secretary. She had more time to think and also to drink. I was in the army when my younger brother Rob called me and told me that Mum was in hospital and said that I'd better get home if I wanted to see her alive. I got a pass from camp and drove the 8 hours or so back to Pietermaritzburg. I didn't make it. I was sleeping on the floor at my dad's little cottage when an old friend of my parents came by. The cottage didn't have a phone. I remember him saying to my dad, "Yvonne died last night." And that was that. I truthfully don't know what they wrote on a death certificate, but I do know for sure that she died of a broken heart. Mum was only 47. For all of my books, please go to www.brianhancockbooks.org. It's .org, not .com. There you'll find all of my books, my Substack blogs, stories, and very soon my podcasts. There'll be interviews with sailing legends, and I think you'll enjoy all of the content. So please check in and say hello, and thanks as always for listening.